Yes, this is another topic that came up recently. In fact, it came up at Summer Bash, and we talked about it for maybe 30 seconds, and I thought we need to do a full segment on hitchhiking. This song is from Bruce Springsteen's new album. It's called Hitchhikin'. And there's a good article that I read last night called The Forgotten Art of Hitchhiking and Why It Has Disappeared. If you'll remember, 20, 30, 40 years ago, hitchhiking was a big thing, seen as a very romantic thing. And the article starts by talking about a guy who in 1950 needed to get from New York to Yuma, Arizona, because he got a new job in Yuma. He had no car, so he hitchhiked 2,500 miles, getting ride after ride after ride from total strangers. And I think it was on a round table at Summer Bash that Dan McDowell asked, has anybody here ever hitchhiked? And I said, yes, I have. And he couldn't believe that I had hitchhiked. But we didn't have time to get into the stories. And I would bet you that I have hitchhiked more times than anybody at the ticket. I bet you I have hitchhiked 10 times in my life. Wow. And every single time is because I've been on a bike ride out in the country and I've had a flat tire or a broken chain or some kind of mechanical that I couldn't repair. Normally, I'll carry a spare tube with me if I have a flat and maybe a patch kit. But if you get multiple flats, you're out of luck.
So you've had your bike uni on. You haven't been there in like flannel and jeans trying to get from Dallas to Fort Worth.
No, it's been me and my bike, so each time I've had to find a car that's either a pickup or a station wagon, something large enough.
When was the last time you actually did this?
It's been a long time. Most of these happened
before the ticket, right?
No, I think one happened, I would say one happened right around the start of the ticket, and it's the most memorable one. And I was riding my bike out way out at by Lakey and Vanderpool deep in the hill country, and it was on a really hot summer day. I think we were down there for Cowboys camp, and I had gone out to the country hour, maybe 2 hour drive, and I parked and then I rode this loop. Well, at one point up a climb, my derailleur got sucked into my rear wheel, I guess from the torque on a steep climb, and it ripped out the spokes of my rear wheel and it ruined my derailleur, so I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even roll the bike. So I sat there, and it's 100 degrees, and I remember vultures circling overhead. I'm not kidding about that. They were circling me. And it took 20 or 30 minutes before a car came by, and it was a giant RV. And so I start waving. And in the RV, there was an old man and an old woman, and they just waved at me and kept on going. They thought I was just waving.
Hey, look at that nice young man down there. Hey, feller.
It took probably 30 more minutes for the next car to come by, and it was a pickup, but it was a pickup full of what I identified as workers.
I'm sorry?
And the guy pulled over, and he said, where are you going? I said, my car's in Vanderpool. He goes, okay, I'll give you a lift. So I had to put my bike in the bed of the pickup and climb back in the bed with probably six workers. And there was a huge language barrier.
What'd y'all talk about? Oh, interesting.
We didn't really talk about much, although I do remember one of the workers asking me how much that bike cost. And I rounded way down because I didn't want to be mugged and then had my bike stolen from me.
Just because they're workers doesn't mean they're going to mug you.
I don't know.
But you know what?
For my birthday, I have no idea.
He took me. He took me to Vanderpool and dropped me off. And there have been many, many other times where I had to thumb a lift to get back to my house, like either as a kid or my apartment as a young adult, because I've been trapped with a bike mechanical. So I think I've done that probably 8 or 10 times in my life.
See, on one side of that, who do you trust when they're stopping to pick you up? But on their side, I think you look like a trustworthy person to pick up. Oh, there's a cyclist who's had a tough time. I'll give him help.
Yeah. One time I was riding out in the country in Oklahoma, and I can't remember what was at the destination town. Maybe it was part of a group ride, and we were all meeting at the town that night or something. I was probably in ninth grade, maybe even eighth grade. And I had a flat, and I didn't have a repair kit with me, or I had already used it or something, so I had to sit there and hitchhike. Well, this guy in a pickup pulls over, and he says, yeah, put your bike in the back. And so I get in the cab with him. And as we're driving into that town, my destination town, there's this girl in cutoff shorts walking down the sidewalk. And this guy, who's probably 30, says to me, who's in eighth grade, "Boy, take a look at that. That'll make a man drive straight up a telephone pole."
What does that mean?
And I'm like, yeah, man.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What if we said hashtag me too?
He wanted me to comment on the girl in short jean shorts. So that was a little awkward. I felt like that guy was creepy. But in this hitchhiking guide, they give
to the
you
galaxy.
They give you some tips, not the hitchhiking guide to the galaxy, but the 10 most effective hitchhiking tips. Number one, ask people at gas stations. Number two, pick a spot where cars are going slow. Number three, always pick a spot where a car can easily pull aside without creating a jam. Four, go to the edge of a city where people are most likely heading out. Five, a sign can really help if you hold up a sign like where you're going to. Six, smile. Don't look evil. Smile. Seven, don't look like a vagabond. Eight, women don't dress too provocatively.
Why are we policing women's bodies?
Because the man might get the wrong idea.
No, I'm standing up for what's right. Ugh. It shouldn't have anything to do with the way she's dressed.
Nine, offer to pay for gas. And 10, trust your instincts and know when to say no thanks. So to your point, George, there were probably a couple of times when I'm an 8th grader or 10th grader hitchhiking, and I might have seen a car coming and it didn't feel right to me, or the guy looked a little shady, and so I'd pretend to just be working on my bike.
Well, what do you do if they stop? If they stop,
I've about got it fixed. I think I'm good.
You're holding out your thumb, which I guess is still the international signal for I'm hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And they stop, and then you look in there, and it's someone who looks like me. And then you're not interested in getting a ride from that person. How do you turn them down after you've just flagged them over?
Great question.
Yeah, I think really awkward. You have to do the polite thing and let them kill you.
They say that you can say no thank you. They pull over, you talk to them for a second, you get a bad feeling.
No thank you? What do you think, I'm unclean?
Well, it's an unusual sight, and I see them occasionally, maybe once a year, but I hardly ever see hitchhikers.
Hardly ever.
And I remember used to seeing them all the time growing up. In fact, my brother and my brother-in-law hitchhiked in college from the campus of Texas Arlington all the way to Miami and back.
Wow.
That's 2,600 miles. And they tell that story all the time, all the different characters they ran into, truck drivers, couples, like old couples that would pick them up. And back then it was just very common.
Don't we have to distinguish, though, between legitimate hitchhiking, which is what they did, versus what Junior did and what a lot of people do, which is you get disabled and then you have
emergency
to bum
ride.
A ride.
Yeah.
So I've never picked up an actual hitchhiker, but I have picked up a few disabled motorists. And one dude I picked up on Central Expressway. And it was like...
It's dangerous.
I know. I'm not sure that I would do it now. This is 10, 12 years ago. And he was a guy, and he had a broken down vehicle on the side of the road, and so I stopped and helped him out, and he got in, and we battled through a little bit of a language barrier there, trying to figure out, you know, where and which direction I need to take him, all that sort of thing. He was like, "Oh, it's just down here, you know, just take me down here to my house. I'm real close." And so I'm driving north on Central. I'm driving north on Central, past Mockingbird, past Northwest Highway, past... Okay, now we're getting past LBJ. I'm like, where's this house of yours?
Tulsa.
You said it was right down the road. I'm telling you, I ended up taking him somewhere north of Frisco. And I'm getting mad at the dude because every time I ask him the update on what's the destination, it's right down here. It's right down
about
here.
30 miles.
I took him like 20 miles out of my way. But I helped him out. I did my good deed.
I've never picked up a hitchhiker either.
No.
I remember
I don't think
my,
I ever would.
My dad did one time when we were kids, and he came home with the story. I pick up a hitchhiker today around Lake Hefner, and I took him to his house. And I'm telling you, he was on cocaine.
Really?
Yeah, but he picked one up.
My dad used to have so many hot sports opinions about hitchhikers.
Did he think they were up to no good?
Probably had a gun in their hip.
Gun at their hip.
In their hip, like tucked in their pants or so. Yeah, he was never going to pick up a hitchhiker. We used to see him all the time.
Or my uncle telling me about a hitchhiker he picked up, and the guy said, "Hey, I don't have any money to pay you, but, you know, I need some relief." And my uncle said that he was then dumb enough to reach over.
All right.
Yeah, they say nowadays hitchhiking is perceived as very dangerous by both parties. The hitchhiker thinks whoever's picking them up is going to kill them, and the driver thinks the hitchhiker is going
to
kill them.
That's why both need to be armed to the teeth.
Just have a standoff.
That's one reason why you hardly ever see hitchhikers anymore. The other reasons, a lot of police departments discourage it.
Many is it illegal?
It's illegal in a lot of states. Now, not Texas, although there is... Texas is not listed as one of the states where it's illegal. However, Texas law says a person may not stand in a roadway to solicit a ride, contribution, employment, or business from the occupant of a vehicle, except if that person is soliciting a charitable contribution if authorized by the local authority.
Well, okay, that's an anti-panhandling ordinance there.
Yeah, now there are states where hitchhiking is illegal. Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, Utah, Oregon, Washington, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, a couple of others.
It's still pretty romantic to me. I would love to hitchhike across the middle of America.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus you have that guarantee that...
There's no guarantee.
I have to say, when I was on the roadside those 8 or 10 times with my thumb out...
Mm-hmm.
There was something exciting and exhilarating and adventurous about it. I had no idea what car I was going to be riding in, who picked me up. There was something thrilling about it.
So you always get in the front, right, when you hitchhike?
Except for the couple of times I've been in the bed of the pickup.
Right. But you can't, it would seem haughty of you if you hitchhiked and they stopped for you and then you climb in the back like driving Miss Daisy.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't want to crowd them, do you?
Well, that's the thing. It's like I would think for their comfort and my comfort, they would want me sitting in a different row.
Yeah.
But yet, they're going to get offended if I sit in a different row.
I think hitchhiking etiquette is you always take the furthest forward seat available.
The farthest forward seat
farthest available. Forward seat available. So if the passenger seat in the front row is available, you take that.
Okay, so you should not climb in the front seat if it's a bench seat and sit right next to them.
No, you want to give them a little elbow room.
And have them work the gear shift between your legs.
Now, you asked the last time that I had to hitchhike, and I have, in the last 5 years, had mechanical issues out on my bike and been trapped in the middle of nowhere. But now with the rideshare apps, you don't have to hitchhike. You just call Alto.
Are there any hitchhiking apps?
So, probably.
So there's no money exchanged. It's just, it's an app that brings hitchhikers and hitchhiker takers together.
Maybe. If not, we should develop it.
That's interesting. Yeah, you could give your bio. This is, so the driver would feel better about it.
You can rate your hitchhiker. Oh, this is a 4-star hitchhiker. He was really good. Had great conversation. Was clean.
Not a bad idea. A
couple of other reasons why hitchhiking has disappeared. Interstates. Hitchhiking is a lot easier on side highways, but on interstates, everybody's going 80, and no one wants to pull over on an interstate.
Right. No.
And a lot of experts say the biggest factor for the decline of hitchhiking is the growth in car ownership. This may be trending back the other way with the millennials, but cars now last longer and are cheaper than ever before, and
right.
So more people have cars, so there's less of a need to hitchhike. Mm-hmm.
But most hitchhikers I see, when I see them, they look like they smell like
a car.
Like pure 110% ball sack.
That's a good way to wrap up hitchhiking talk. It's 8:34 on the ticket. Coming up next, we're going to visit with the guy the Rangers just honored this weekend, Josh Hamilton.
It's just kid stuff. The